In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, it's time to go. We welcome guest host Chester, aka Shutter, to talk about the recent cultural fad known as Pokemon Go. The Cubs talk about the game, its origins, and give a more critical take on the playing, plus the ins and outs of the game. Who's going to catch them all? Hit the gym as COL 377 starts now. It's August 7th, 2016. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
And welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 377. And again, joining us this week for the third week in a row, it's Shutter. Yay! Yay!
Hello.
For a very important reason, too. So let's go right into this. I've done something that I haven't done in probably 6 or more years. I had an eye exam.
Ooh.
And the best $40 I've ever made in my life was, instead of having my eyes dilated, I had them use the OptoMap.
OptoMap?
Yeah. It's basically, they take a picture of your retina.
Huh.
You put your eye up to this thing. You have to position it just right so the light, the bullseye light inside turns green. And then it takes the picture. Right into your eye.
Interesting.
And if you followed me on Facebook, you probably saw the pictures.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's what that was.
Well, I said they were eyes.
Well, I knew it was your eyeball. I just didn't know, or eyeballs. I just didn't know what I was looking at. I was like, oh okay.
Yeah, so it was the inside of my eyes.
Hey.
So that's pretty much it. Oh, I did order some new glasses. So they were ended up being, even with the insurance stuff, probably $300. But they're also going to have that amber computer special tint to them. So my eyes hopefully will thank myself for having something that's going to help reduce my eye strain.
Yay. All for that. I am all for that. As someone who... Go ahead.
Had you not said that was your eye, I would have just assumed it was something from Warcraft.
I could say that.
It's just a picture of his eye, like Burning Crusade,
or Old Gods, or something like that. You see that on the bottom. It looks like the maw of an old god, so I can see how you get that. So, I thank you. I have eyes. And totally with new glasses, I will get rid of... I will not have to wear very often glasses with the nose pads, because I hate the nose pads because they always get icky and gross. Replace them instead of having to go get them replaced or get replacements or replace them yourself or anything. I'd rather just have like the solid things, so it's...
Yeah.
Those off. Doesn't get dunking cracks and eat the thing. That's what I've been doing. Damon, how about you? We haven't seen
you in a while. Yeah, I haven't been here for a while. So a lot's been going on. So I'm going to try to go through this pretty quickly. let's see. When do we end? Okay. So men's chorus is done for the summer.
Oh, what was the name of that group?
Cincinnati Men's Chorus. Everybody dance now. Yes. So we are done for the summer, but we're doing a lot of social stuff. So I've been I went to bowling. We had a cookout yesterday, so it's been kind of cool just, you know, hanging out and not having to sing. And then a contest kind of thing. I've been not really contest, one contest really. I tally mastered the Ohio Valley Regional Drummer Contest. Drummer and Drummer Boy. Drummer is Drummer North American, which is North America. And it is a different vein of the leather contest circuit than, say, IML that most people are aware of. They deal more with lifestyle as opposed to like community and not really, that's not, sounds bad, but it similar vein, but they deal more with like who you are as a leather person or as a person and your kink. So the winner of the German Boy contest, for example, has a multitude of fetishes, but he's also a pup and he's also kind of a leather person, but he's also not, he's not just strictly leather. So it was kind of an interesting take on things, and I liked the concept. So yeah, it was kind of cool. The week before that, I was at Roseland Campground with my leather group and the Miami Valley Bears and Leathermen doing a week, Appalachian Leather Fetish Weekend, I think was the official title of the event. Sort of allowing ourselves to present demos. We did a really great job with that. We had a lot of interest and a lot of people were looking for, you know, wanting to know more. It was nice to have a group of people that we don't normally interact with. And that was fun. I got to actually flog someone for the very first time. He considers himself a sadist. And one of the things he hadn't actually had done was being flogged to himself. So he was like, I want someone to flog me. And I was talking to him and, you know, he's a nice guy. He's kind of cute, you know, young, smaller, cubbish type. But, you know, it was interesting to do that for him, and he really appreciated it. Being the sadist, he wanted to go for something heavy, so I had a bullhide flogger that I used on him that went really well. Could have done more. It's kind of fun. And then what else has been going on? Oh, well, I went to see went to the movie theater. Actually walked in a theater for the first time in maybe a year or something like that to see Star Trek Beyond. No spoilers. It was good. I really enjoyed it. There was a lot of interesting things that they did that made the movie more like a Star Trek movie to me, if that makes any sense. Just a lot of different elements that I was particularly fond of, and a lot of nods to the original cast. And I won't say anything else. Go see it if you want more. So, yeah.
It reminds me of the news that the new Chekhov anthology.
Yeah. And they did dedicate the movie to him too. So, yeah. So that's been me, Gary.
I got questions.
Okay.
So, and it just occurred to me all the times we've discussed you tallywhacking, I mean, mastering, whatever. when you do that, do you not judge?
I do not judge, no.
Okay. So you just sit there, let everybody else judge, they pass all the papers or whatever to you, and then you do all the numbers.
I do all the numbers. I'm the number cruncher.
So no one can really be annoyed or mad at you because you didn't really do anything.
Exactly.
Meaning the outcome.
Yeah.
You were basically the impartial third party that counted the votes.
Exactly. That is exactly right, Gary. Yeah. They actually mentioned that we're supposed to be impartial third party because we're just meant to be there to put all the numbers together. We're the lawyers for the the Oscars. Nice. You know, the lawyers that do all the accounting and stuff, or the accounting firm that does the, you know, accounting and stuff. So, yeah.
So here's my next question.
Go for it.
That being the case, are you ever I don't know how else to say this. Do you ever sit there and look at the scores and be like, girl, what? like one particular judge or one particular category or like the way the numbers come out, you're just like, SMH.
Yes. Okay. Like I won't go into details, but yes, there have been contests I've been at that I've been like, what's going on? Like that was good or that was really, really bad. And you guys are like, oh my God, he's so amazing. Or, oh my God, he's so terrible. Like, yeah, I've had that happen before. I've had that happen on multiple occasions. But at the same time, I'm not a judge. So I may be not seeing what they're seeing.
Right.
But at the same time, there have been issues, and I don't want to go into details because at least not on something that is recorded.
right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I will say that. So.
Okay. So I have a question.
Okay.
Before Gary jumps in, since we're still talking about it, do you ever get any play out of it? Because I know that sometimes runners like to bribe the judges.
Okay. So I can. Okay. So supposedly, and this is the way it's supposed to be, a contestant is made well aware that they are not allowed to coerce anyone that is directly related with the contest. So that is judges, that is producers, that is tally masters. So my overall question is, my answer is no. However, once the contest is over and people have been crowned, once the contest is over and maybe before crowning even, no, actually, I think the last time, it's okay. Like they're not allowed to drink. Contestants should not be drinking during the weekend, for example. Now, does that mean that they always adhere to that rule? Probably not. So, no, I am not supposed to, and no, they are not supposed to play during the contest. Now, like I said, once the contest is over, if there's mutual interest and something happens, then technically we're in the clear. Like once my laptop is closed, I am done. There will be no changing of anything, because there's no reason to, unless something really, really odd happens. That's sort of the point of being the impartial third party. Could it happen? Potentially. Has it happened? Not really. We were doing, I was at one contest and one of the contestants was selling raffle tickets. And it was after everything was done, all the numbers had been counted, and they hadn't announced winners yet, but he was just going around selling raffle tickets. I had on a kilt and I did boots to balls. So he did ask, and fortunately one of the producers was standing nearby and he goes, that's fine, as long as the contest is technically over in the sense that the scores have been tallied.
The tallywhacker has whacked all the tallies. So
exactly. My job is officially over.
Feel free to whack his tally.
Yes, exactly. So yes, there was a little play, and he it was kind of cool. So but at the same time, during the contest, I try to keep as professional respect as possible. I've had contestants that are very attractive and very attractive to me, and it's hard to maintain that impartiality, but I usually just deal with the numbers. So there's that. Okay. Gary, unless there's other questions.
No. Well, I'll save him for another day. I've been chilling with food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, my mom had a friend from out of state come and visit and stay. And some mom was like, you know, wanted to – and my mom's not a big cook. So this is another thing is like, you know, she wanted to have food like kind of to make to prepare because she didn't really want to go out to eat a lot. And then her friend wanted to eat out all the time. So that plan didn't quite go well. So anyways, after her friend had left, she was like, you know, take the pink grapefruit juice because I can't drink it because of my meds. I mean, like, you know, it was all this stuff. And in the midst of that was like a half dozen lemons. And my mom doesn't care for just lemons because they're too tart. So consequently, I took the lemons and this weekend. I zested them, peeled them, blended the shit out of them, strained them, and then ended up getting some juice and so on. And then I decided to get adventurous, and I made a lemon black pepper sorbet.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So
that does sound interesting.
Yeah. I was like, I think I'm going to make – I didn't know if I want to make lemon curd or if I wanted to make a sorbet. So I was like, I think I'll go with the sorbet because I don't have the eggs and that crap to monkey around with. So yeah, so that, and I had some stuff from the grocery store like a week or so ago in the freezer that needed to get cooked up. And so I pan fried up some pork chops and some chicken breast and stuff. So I have things for the coming days. But yeah, it's just been things of that nature, fooding it up, so to speak.
Haha. Foodie.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Well. Do that kind of thing. And other than that, it's been kind of a chill weekend. I got a lot of sleep. Apparently, I really did it. So.
Well, sleep is good. Trust me, with the busy weekends I've been having, it's been one of those things that I've been dealing with is like I've been so tired and I don't know why. And I think it's because I've not had a real opportunity to just relax.
Right.
So.
Makes sense.
Yay.
Good deal. Chester, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Let's see. I was in Scotland over the week. I went up there to go photograph nature and landscapes and didn't really get any of it done because the weather was shit.
Ugh.
So I tried to make the most of it. I found it said it was a county park, but it's more like a national park, like one of our national parks. Mm-hmm. And I just hung out in there all week or all day. Was not very good on my ankle. I probably hurt it a little bit more. Ouch. Slid down the side of a mountain.
Whoa.
That was interesting. With all of my camera gear
On
my back.
Oh.
Got one of my shoes soaked. So the following day, because I was out in this forest area from about 9 a.m. until about 8:30, 9 o'clock, because I didn't get back to my hotel until about 11 p.m. So I was out there for about a good 12 hours. The following day I woke up and my entire body was so sore that I'm just like, I'm not going anywhere. I just hung out in the hotel.
Nice.
Which was fine because it was raining out anyway. And then another day I just drove about to some of the locks up there, which was really interesting. I had a lot of fun doing that. And overall, I didn't get very many pictures, but I still had a good time because I like just being on my own and going at my own pace and sightseeing. I do have a rant about Glaswegian people, which I think if anybody's on my Facebook, they probably saw my rant. But that could be a show topic in the future if anybody wants to discuss it.
Well, I think. I think it could be a topic because I think it's not just specific to them.
No, it's not. And somebody had made a comment about, I think you'll get that wherever you go. And that is true. It does happen to me wherever I go. I just pointed it out because that was the new city that I was in and I was fresh meat.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that it was funny. I was just discussing it with my friend AJ last night when we were hanging out, and he completely affirmed. He was 100% in agreement that it's a thing. Like that comment, I don't know if it's the exact same comment you're thinking of, Chester, but not to be so mysterious to our listeners. But yeah, there was one comment that someone that you know said, and I was like, oh, I hadn't. All right. Well, yeah, when you think about it, it's like, it made a lot of sense to me, which is unfortunate, but you'll have that.
Yeah. I certainly, when the people that commented on my original post was somewhat rhetoric. I understand that that's how people act. I wasn't looking for an answer. It was just me venting. So when people did comment and give their feedback and with their opinions of it, I didn't discredit them. I was just like, you're right. I agree. That's probably what it is. So, yeah. Anyway, that was my week.
There we go. All right.
How's your ankle now?
It's fine. I have no problem walking on it. It's just I can't walk up or downstairs fast or any type of inclines, and I can't seem to roll it in or out. So I like putting my foot up on my other knee when I'm relaxing, if I'm sitting on the couch or something like that. And I can't do that because there's too much pressure on that part of my ankle. So it's just one of those things that's going to take a really long time to heal. And I like to walk, and it's just going to take that much longer to heal.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay.
Hopefully you can get that taken care of in some way.
I did managed to find a, I forgot the name of it, but it's basically, it's not emergency. It's a type of place you go to.
Like an urgent care?
Urgent care, yes. I think they call it A&E or something like that. But anyway, I went into one of those places. They checked it out. I don't have anything broken. She said it's just really sprained because I've done this like four times in the past 4 years. And every time I do it, it just keeps getting worse.
Ugh.
I can usually bounce back within a day and it doesn't hurt. But this time it's, you know, it's been like 2 weeks and it still hurts. So. Yeah, I'm just taking it a little bit more easy. That's all.
Rice. Rest, ice, compression, and elevation.
Yep, I've been doing that.
Sweet.
I'm glad you explained that, David, because I was like, I was thinking making dietary intake advice. I'm
sorry, I've dealt with a lot of part of my job is dealing with workers' comp, so I know some of those terms pretty well.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
Like, we actually need to go into this. Gary, what did you do?
Yeah, so for those of you that might have seen my Facebook post, last night, AJ and I went out to eat at a local restaurant. And granted, it was later. It wasn't normal dinner time. Hence, we were at the one particular restaurant we were at because they're open 24 hours. We were sitting there minding our own business, having a pleasant little conversation and a meal. This young lady walks over and approaches me more than him. And I'm confused because she doesn't look like the wait staff. She's not dressed in all black and she's not wearing a colorful button-down shirt like the management is that we've seen walking around. So I'm like, hi. She's like, hey, I saw that you have a beard and you have a beard t-shirt. That's cool. And she puts her right hand up in the air like she wants a high five.
All right. Okay.
So I give her a high five and then she turns to AJ and she's like, you got a beard too. That's cool. And she puts her hands up to him or her hand up and he gives her a five five. And I can tell both of us are like, what the French is going on here? Because we don't know her. I mean, we've never met before, to my knowledge. And so she turns to me and she's like, I just think it's cool that guys have beards and blah, 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 or whatever. And I'm like thinking, where's your handler? Because you seem lost. Like you seem to be wandering. Don't know where you're supposed to be. But and she was very harmless, but it was just hysterical to me because I was like, my spidey sense was tingling. Let's put it that way. So
got it.
I look over to the left to think about where she was sitting, and the booth was empty. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure she was sitting with a guy. And so I didn't know where he was. And then I'm like, this is all very quick thinking. I'm like, maybe he's in the bathroom or something. So then she turns to me and she's like, can I read your shirt? And I'm like, sure. So I kind of adjust myself so she can read my shirt. And it's called Beard Rule Number 24. And there's a whole series of these shirts you can buy online. And I should actually probably see if I can find the shop that I bought it from and put the link in the show notes. But anyways, Beard Rule Number 24 says, if you touch my beard, I touch your butt. Now, I have worn this at Bear Runs, and I wore it at Claw, and I've worn it out to the bars, and that's perfectly fine. And I knew I was wearing it out in public, but I was not necessarily prepared for someone to question the validity of said statement. So she says, well, is it true? Now, Chess, a.k.a. Fox Bear, if you're listening to the story out there, he totally called me on this because I think I wore this at Kentucky, the Bear Run there, and I forgot I had the shirt on, and he walked up and he caressed my beard, and I didn't react, and then he immediately was like, well, that's disappointing, and I was like, what? And he just stares at my shirt, and I was like, oh, sorry, like, and then promptly fumbled his beautiful derriere, but... In that case, so ever since then, I've been trying to be conscious of the fact that I'm wearing it. So she approaches me and asks to read it. And then she says, you know, is it true? And I'm like, and then this is what I said. I'm like, well, we're in public, so it's a little awkward. And without any reaction to what I said, she probably caressed my beard.
Wow.
So. And you promptly.
And I begrudgingly... very lightly and gingerly patted her rear end.
Aww.
She presented, which was even more awkward. And by that, I mean she pivoted on her right heel, like about 45 degrees or whatever, so that I would, you know, have clear view of her backside. So, yeah.
But, and then pressed into you?
No, she didn't. No, she did not back into me. and then she was like, cool. And she walked away. And I was like, not cool.
You were like, awkward.
It was very awkward. It was a very awkward public interaction. I was like, and of course, AJ, he wanted to die. I think he just wanted to like bust the biggest gut. It was so, so strange.
Yeah. And I also think that she probably didn't realize that you're gay, and you know, touching a woman's butt is not something.
Oh yeah, because I forgot. She did say something else about. She likes guys in bands with beards and blah blah blah. So I'm thinking, oh, you have me mistaken for somebody else. like I don't know what other really big fat like hairy guy with a beard you know that's in a band, but that's not this guy. Like, so
yeah.
Yeah, so Beard Rule Number 24 led to an awkward interaction in public at a restaurant. I was honestly I'll be deadly honest with you guys. I was so worried because we're literally in a restaurant with people all around and wait staff. Like, and this is a restaurant that cops go to regularly on like their lunch break or for a coffee break or something. So I'm seriously thinking someone's going to say something to me about how it's inappropriate or whatever. And it's like – and then I'm going to have to like totally backpedal this whole thing and be like, no, like it's kind of a social obligation. It's weird because I'm wearing this shirt. And yes, I know I shouldn't have been wearing this shirt, but the reality is I didn't want to upset her. And now it's even weirder. And thank you for pointing it out.
Awkward.
And for most people, it's a warning. It's like, just don't touch my beard, because if you touch my beard, I'm going to touch your butt. So.
But in this case, she wanted her butt touched, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is awkward.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
So that's let's go nuts. Right into this.
I did that.
So, Gary, what's been going on over in Facebook land?
Hey, that was the wrong clip.
Oh. I don't know where.
There we go.
Anyways,
I was like,
I'm leaving that in, by the way.
That's fine.
Not editing the show.
I just thought it was hysterical because David's like, we're both like, what? Anyways,
what's going on over in Facebook land?
See
connection.
Back. All right.
It works. It still works. We're fine. Everything's fine here. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, so we got a comment on episode 374, the On the Road show called Bear Origins, where I sat down with Jeff Rock Cub and his partner Ronnie in their kitchen. And we talked about like how we learned about the bear community, basically, in our backgrounds stuff. We got a comment on that show from Daniel Delgado. He said, great episode. And about those Tumblr pics, Gary, you have a beautiful ass.
Well, he's not lying.
Well,
go ahead, Gary.
No, there's really nothing else to say. I'm not going to dispute this. I'm also not going to like really get into an argument about it either.
Yeah, and technically speaking, I don't think any of those picks were your. We're back from technical difficulties. Anyways, so. Most of those Tumblr pics are not your butt, Gary. Is that correct?
Well, this just did. We don't know which pics he's referring to, but I don't really have to know for certainty because I'm pretty sure I know exactly what pics he's talking about.
Do you have your butt on Tumblr?
Chester?
Yeah, wasn't it in that photo set that you did? I'm going to have to go back and look.
What?
Yes. So, all right. Like, this is really delaying us getting to the topic, but I will say this. For the 1,000 follower milestone, which Tumblr did not tell me I hit, which is weird. Tumblr's like being super inconsistent. But then again, Tumblr just got bought by Verizon because it used to be owned by Yahoo. And then Verizon bought Yahoo. So.
Well, but it's not with Verizon yet.
Well, it's changing hands, and I don't know what management thinks they're doing. But the reality is you used to consistently get notifications. Like you would get emails. I still get emails like when someone follows me. But I used to get emails about like here's your 1,000th post and here's your 500th follower. And it's been like 3 years or whatever. Like you always get these like milestone anniversary emails. But I never got anything for 1,000 followers, which I thought was weird. Because I'm pretty sure I got it at like 100 or something. So I discovered by accident, because I knew I'd been coming up on the number for some time, and I had a significant increase in the number of followers in the past month or so. So anyways, I discovered it was over 1,000, so I had made a commitment to myself that I did. I don't think I posted it publicly, but I said that if I got to 1,000 followers that I would post some pics. Because on my Tumblr, there's only like... Prior to the 1,000 mark, there's maybe 4 pictures of me total.
Ah.
Count.
Where is this post?
And one is the very beginning, and then the other is... Really?
Yes, might as well.
Okay, so anyways, let the listening audience know. They're linking and passing it in Skype chats, and everyone on the podcast can click and look. So anyways... the very first time I posted a side portrait picture of me in San Diego when I was on vacation. And then there's only been like 2 or 3 others. So this was kind of a big milestone thing for me. And it was like, I got up a lot of nerve to take a couple of pictures and, it was very well received. So I'm happy about that.
Good.
However, I also have another issue, which I have to reach out to Foxbear about for some advice because somebody removed the watermark. Yes. And so I've got to figure out what to do. I know there are steps to follow at Tumblr to basically report the person that posted the picture with the removal of the watermark. But what I'm not sure of is if, like, I can actually send them the metadata from my pictures that were taken. Do you know what I mean? Like, to prove, like, I am the owner of the original picture. This is not the original picture.
I'll walk you through it after we're done.
So, cool. And the thing that really fries me up about it is, like, someone, and the only reason I know is because someone tagged me in it, like, very politely, and I would, if I can remember their name, I'll give them a shout out later. They actually said, hey, like, you should source the original. Like, yeah. I'm sure GareBear73 would appreciate that. And so I was like,
rude.
Yeah. And when I found out I was traveling, I think I was in Cincinnati again for something different, and I was just like, and it was one of these things, like, I feel like I need to sit down and, like, take time to focus on this and not just kind of do it on the fly, so to speak. It's not a reblog or that type of thing. So consequently, it really burns me because it's like, this is the reason why I didn't really put pictures on there.
Yeah.
Because you can't trust people to just be correct about how they do stuff. And I made a point of putting my nick in the – like, as a watermark in the photos on purpose. And then the person just went and took it out. So, yeah. I'm just really kind of torqued about it.
I do really like Shutter's comment on the photo. Which kind of connects to the topic of the show.
Yeah.
An ultra-rare photo of Gary Sands' pants has appeared. Gary used seductive looks. It's very super effective. if you're a Pokemon fan, you understand that.
So,
well, that when happened. He posted it, Pokemon Go had just started, and I had just woke up and flicking through my feed, and I'm like, oh, that guy's handsome. Holy shit, that's Gary. I'm like, I don't think I would. I was floored because I never would have expected to see those types of pictures from Gary.
Well, there you go. That's why I did it. It wasn't meant to be a shock factor, but it was like a, okay, like, here we go.
Thanks for all the followers. Here's pictures of my ass.
Well, here.
Something. I mean, that's basically it when you think about it. I mean, right?
Well, like, yay, milestone. Don't really get a whole lot of pictures on me of me. Here's some a little more different than usual. Like, you're not just seeing my face. I'm not just giving you side face and side eye. I'm giving you actual, like, body.
So I don't know if Bruce has actually seen these until just now, but he looks over at my computer and he just gives me thumbs up.
Yay!
You've got the Bruce seal of approval. I can't.
Thanks, speak. Bruce.
All right. So speaking of Pokemon,
actually, we've got more.
Oh, we do.
What? Yeah. Over. What's going on over in the Twitterverse, Gary?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Back to the talk. So,
actually, nothing really is going on it because this was just a retweet. But
yeah, Mr. Chester, who is our guest today, retweeted episode 375 spoiler alert, in which we discuss Damon takes a vacation. And Chester had previously brought up the subject about spoilers and how people don't seem to care about spoiling things. So go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear our opinions about what you should do, what you should not do, you know, and whether or not we think you're a douchebag if you spoil things. So,
and how you spoil things too. Anyways,
there we go.
Over on YouTube, we've got another subscriber. We got Victor Hugo Martinez Mendoza.
Hey,
welcome.
Woohoo!
Thank you for subscribing. Hopefully, we'll do some more video content. I know at the end of this month, we will have video content.
Yes, most likely.
And while it sounds like my air conditioner is yelling at us, we actually need to get into this. It's Urban Dictionary with Gary.
Okay, so as connected to today's topic of the show. Today's Urban Dictionary phrase is Pokemon goo.
Oh, God.
The definition is when a person ejaculates while playing the game Pokemon Go. This usually occurs near spawn points of legendary or rare Pokemon. Oh, and the example that they give, Kevin, is that a Mewtwo? And then Kevin promptly Pokemon goos himself.
And it's spelled wrong, too. It's actually M-E-W-T-W-O.
Yes.
Well, so here's the really funny thing, though, because Urban Dictionary going to learn real soon. I don't know how rare that Pokemon is, but I don't think it is that rare.
It is rare.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It is not currently in the game, Pokemon Go.
So it is so rare right now. No one.
Not even in.
All right. Well, then shame on all of the players who are renaming their Pokemons. Because sure. I know I've seen that name, so hence...
Yeah, I'm sure somebody has probably named one of their Pokemon it, but it's... By the phrasing this, it's not in the type of the actual Pokemon name before they leave. Otherwise, right. It's weird. Anyways, moving
on. So that being said, should we get into our show topic?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. We want the very best...
Was. What is going on?
I don't know. Is in the background?
Chester, is that coming from you?
I don't know. What is it?
It sounds like someone choked to death during sex.
It sounds like children.
Oh my God. It's the kids playing out in the garden area next to the apartment.
Okay.
Hang on, I'll close the windows.
Well, hopefully we're not on, like, you know, loudspeaker to the outside world.
No.
Embarrassing.
Anyways, so we're going to be talking about catching them all, right?
Yes.
Talking about Pokemon Go, or as we like to call it, Pokepup Go. Apparently there's a guy in the UK who's selling shirts for that. But Chester, was that originally your idea, or...?
No, not necessarily. The person who sells the shirts, his name is Andrew Clark. You can find him on Facebook under the name Moody Bear. His website is moodybear.co.uk. He's the type of artist that does, what do you call it? Mashups. A lot of a lot of the shirts that he makes, they have characters that are, they're bearish characters, and he does a lot of comic book things. And, you know, basically just nerdy, geeky type things in general. And every once in a while, he will send me an image asking me to critique it. And one morning I woke up and he's like, hey, what do you think of this? And it was a Pokemon logo, but he had changed it to say Pokepup. And I was like, that's so funny that you're sending that to me because I just did one last night. And I sent it over to him and he's like, oh, yours is so much better. I'm going to put this on a shirt. And I'm like, all right, go for it. So, yeah.
And there you go.
And then he ended up making one that said Pokebear as well.
Didn't he do like three, like Pokepup, Pokebear, Bear, and then Pokecub? I think.
I want to say there was a Pokecub as well.
Yes, yeah. There was. Because I remember thinking about buying it.
Yeah.
All right.
Good deal. All right. So I'm going to be the lay nitwit of the group of us that does no clue what this is. And I'm not going to say no clue. I probably have like a 5% of a clue.
That's good.
Okay.
So how are we?
Yeah, Chester. Can anybody explain the background before we get to the modern game? Like a quick Reader's Digest on what the thing is.
I think Jeff would probably be better explaining Pokemon and its origins than I would.
Oh, I don't know about that because I just got into Pokemon like.
Oh, okay. Fine. So here, now, here we go. Reader's Digest.
Although I do have to say, I'm currently playing Pokemon Yellow on my brand new Nintendo 2DS. So
yeah, and I just started playing Pokemon Red like 6 months ago because I knew Pokemon Go was coming out. So I wanted to familiarize myself with the game before it hit and turned into the mass hysteria that it is now.
I have watched pretty much every Pokemon episode.
Except yeah. So there's a seasons? Pokemon is out of Japan, correct? Yeah, out of yes. Japan. It was a manga. Usually it was an anime. The anime was moved over to the United States, where it became super fucking popular because, you know, there was a card game, I know, and I think there was a card game before, and then there was a video game. So people just really got excited about it and really got into it. So go ahead.
Japan, it's called Pocket Monsters, and over here we just squished it together and called it Pokemon.
The card game is a trading card game similar to Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, so ultimately there's this world where there are these little monsters, hence Pokemon. You train, you're a trainer, you go to gyms and you do all this stuff, to put it simply, and you battle your Pokemon towards your training. And the goal, quote unquote, is to become a Pokemon master. And that is a very brief Reader's Digest. So it became really, really popular, especially in the 90s. And now I think, I don't know how to say it, Niantic. Thank you. Which originally did Ingress.
Correct.
Now created this Pokemon Go game. Right?
Correct.
I think they were licensed by the Pokemon Company, which is only partially owned by Nintendo. And Nintendo's stock went up when this game got really popular, but Nintendo's not getting that much money out of the game.
It's more going
I remember correctly, Nintendo only owns 31% of the Pokemon Company. So however much they're getting out of it, I don't know. The part of the game where Niantic comes into play, what was it, 4 years ago, Google decided to launch this way to basically data mine, but in a game form. And they created this game called Ingress, which is augmented reality. You are playing in real time in a real environment, hence all the people walking around in parks and whatever. But you're interacting with things that are on your mobile device. So it was a huge hit 4 years ago. And then somebody came up with the bright idea, we should, you know, make this into a Pokemon game. And about a year and a half ago, they started putting the wheels in motion for that. About a year ago, they made the announcement that, yes, this is a thing. We are doing this. And about 6 months ago, they opened it up to Ingress players to start doing the beta. And I don't know exactly how they selected the beta players, but I was one of them. And I got to play it a couple months ago. And basically all we were supposed to do is play the game, tell us what's wrong, give us ideas and suggestions on how to make the game better. And they just kind of handled it really sloppily, because one day we're playing and, you know, we're giving them feedback. And then the next day they're like, we're going to close beta and we're going to release the game next week. And everybody is like, it's not ready. And so, yeah, That was 3 weeks ago. I don't remember the exact date the game came out, but it was sometime.
It was in June, I thought.
Yeah, it was at the end of June when they released the game. And I want to say it was sometime around June 20th that my game just stopped working. And I'm like,
it was released. Yep. July 6th, 2016. Thank you, Google.
All right, Gary. So what do you want to know about the game?
Okay. So at least I now know where the hell the name comes from, because that was bugging the hell out of me. Yeah, and I wanted to make a comment about the Nintendo thing. Like, everyone was like, oh my God, Nintendo's making $1 million or whatever, or millions of dollars. And then I heard, like, a couple days later, they were like, a bunch of people were like, actually, they're not really making any money, and that's why their stock dropped drastically, because they technically don't own Pokemon, and Niantic has got the rights for licensing, but isn't really paying anything beyond
that.
So the only thing that Nintendo might be getting a windfall on is anything that is already theirs that has to relate to it. So like, if Pokemon is a separate business, then all the toys, the shirts, I mean, everything that's been licensed that way, potentially they might be making a buck on. But I don't know. It was kind of confusing to me, but I was like, oh, yeah, so... Here's where – all right, so I got one question, because like, I've heard this term and it really annoys the shit out of me. What's a gym?
Yeah. Okay. So for all intents and purposes, I think we should make it a point that when we're discussing this game, we leave it strictly to Pokemon Go, because Pokemon Go – is very different than any other Pokemon game ever. In just the way that it's played and the way that the players interact with the game environment.
True.
All right.
There's similarities in the sense of character names are the same. They sort of have the same. How do I want to put this? It's hard to describe if you don't know anything about the games.
But, okay, I already heard earlier there were references to different colors of games, so apparently that's a thing. Like, there's been different iterations or versions.
Okay, so when Pokemon releases a game for the Nintendo DS, the handheld games, they released three versions of the game. And the very first set of games was red and blue, meaning that if you took blue, you got a certain amount of monsters or Pokemon that you could catch. If you had a red, you could get a different set of Pokemon that you could catch. The idea is to find somebody who has the opposite game and trade with them. And a few months down the road, after they had released Red and Blue, they released a third version called Yellow, which had the character Pikachu as a starter character, which I'm sure you've heard those names before as well. Red and Blue, you could not pick Pikachu, but he's in the game. With Yellow, you could pick Pikachu. And again, this goes back to wanting to share. So the Pokemon Company kind of picked up on this way of releasing their games. So that's how they release their games now. They always release two right off the bat. One is, you know, it's one is for these players and the other version is for these other players. And then a little while down the road, they release a third version. So that's where the colors come in. Red, blue, and yellow.
Gotcha. But Pokemon Go is nothing like that because you don't have to have a different version of the app to play.
Correct. Now what they've done is the red, blue, and yellow that they're referring to are your team colors. So myself, I am on Instinct, which is yellow. I basically will be able to interact with the gyms that are in my local area and hope that my teammates that are also yellow help with my gyms. And then the people that are on red and blue are able to attack my gyms.
Okay. So back to my earlier question, what's a gym?
Okay. So in Ingress, places that were of artistic or cultural value were created as portals.
Okay.
So churches, universities, museums, public works of art. There were graffiti, libraries, historical buildings. Anything that could be deemed culturally significant was turned into an Ingress portal. So when Pokemon Go had come out, and because Niantic already had all of this information from Ingress, they just basically ported all of that information into Pokemon Go. So now Pokemon Go has all of these data points all over the world already mapped out. So what they decided to do was create two different nodes that players can interact with. The first being a Pokestop, which is basically the Ingress portal that you gain resources from. The other node type is a gym, which is, again, it was a Ingress portal, but now it's been upgraded in Pokemon Go to a gym where players can go in there and take over a gym by putting one of their Pokemon characters inside of it. Then your teammates, or you hope your teammates, come by and they put their Pokemon characters in it as well to make it stronger. In the original games, gyms were used as a way to help train up your Pokemon, to help level them. And then once you were trained up enough, you could fight the gym leader. And if you beat them, they would give you a badge, which would unlock other parts of the game. In Pokemon Go, it doesn't quite work that way. You still get to go into the gym, but you don't actually fight anybody in there. Your Pokemon do it by automation. Or you yourself go to a gym that's occupied by the rival teams, and then you can send your Pokemon into the gym and you fight with your own Pokemon and try and take it over.
Yeah.
Have I lost
you? Well, I'm just not sure on why the word GYM, gym, is the vocabulary used.
Because you're training.
Yeah.
You're exercising.
You would be technically in the original, you were exercising, training your Pokemon. So they used the word gym because that's where you would go to get them physically fit, as it were, to get them better, to make them better, to improve upon them.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that is why it's called a gym.
Because I've just been really confused by it for a while. I'm like, why are they gyms? No one's working out. There's no exercise equipment. Like, they're just places that you go to. So I was like, why don't you call them battlegrounds or arenas or, like, I don't know, like something that
calling it an arena would work in this sense. Yes. But it's just because that's what they were called in the original games, and they've ported over the terminology into Pokemon Go. As I said earlier, it's important to realize that Pokemon Go is not the same games as the original Pokemon are. They are that dissimilar. What makes them so similar is the names. Everybody is so familiar with it. They could have called this game something completely different. They could have called it, I don't know, Pocket Monster, and changed the names of all the characters. And everybody could have been playing this very different game. But because of the everybody is so involved in the pop culture of Pokemon, it just made sense. And that's part of the reason why this went so viral, is because there are so many people involved in Pokemon in general, even before this game, Pokemon Go.
So here's the thing that I've kind of wondered about, because obviously I haven't seen the game. Well, that's not true. I don't have the game. Friends of mine are playing it. So is it easily user-friendly enough, like, to just download the app, it walks you through everything you need to know to do? Or is it one of those things that if you go completely solo, you could possibly get frustrated and annoyed because you're not you're not with enough knowledge that you would gain from other people, be it your friends or folks that you run into?
Well, yes and no.
Yeah, I can actually answer that, because I downloaded the game hesitantly on Friday, just because I knew we were doing this game, we were playing, we were doing this podcast. So I figured, let me get a little familiar with it, because why not, And so I downloaded it, and immediately, it kind of opens up and it gives you sort of a tutorial. You know, it kind of tells you things, and if you click in a little bit further, you can find some, like, if you hit your settings, you can, it gives you a little more information about certain things you want to do or can do. It's sort of user friendly, but not all that, because I fortunately know more, just mostly because of the fact that I've been seeing friends play it. It's not. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that I had an advantage because I played Ingress pretty hardcore for a good 3 years. So when Pokemon Go was announced, I knew what to expect out of it, and when I would see things being talked about on Ingress pages about things that were going to happen in Pokemon Go, I was able to easily relate to the things that they would say. When they mentioned, oh, we're going to make these things called Pokestops, my immediate thought was, I'll bet you anything they're just going to take the portal information from Ingress and make them into these Pokestops. And then when they would talk about Pokemon that would spawn out in the real world, which is the whole reason why it's called Pokemon Go, is because you need to go into the real world to catch them. I was like, I bet you anything they're going to tie this back into the way that XM, the exotic matter, in Ingress spawns. And so far, all of those things are holding true. So when I picked up Pokemon Go and I started playing it, it was very easy for me to figure out a lot of the game mechanics, because I was like, oh, well, if I did this in Ingress, I can do this in Pokemon Go, and it makes it so much easier because I already have that knowledge. Now, not knowing very much about Pokemon prior to Pokemon Go, I can easily say that anybody like yourself, Gary, can pick up this game and not have too difficult a problem figuring out the way things work.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Next question is, How much money do you have to spend playing it?
I've not spent any. It is a free game. However, you do have this, you could potentially spend money. It is a game where if you want things done faster, you're going to have to pay for it.
So, like a lot of games, there are in-app purchases.
Yeah.
There are in-app purchases, yes.
Because I was like, how the hell does anybody make any money? The purpose of the game is it's a business. It's a revenue stream. Sorry, yeah. Gamers. That's just the way it is. So I'm like, well, how's anybody going to make any money off this? So I had a feeling that there were things you could get in it. But my next question is, how far can you get in the game without spending money? Does anybody know?
You don't have to spend a dime if you don't want to.
Yeah.
However, like Damon just said, if you spend money, it makes certain things easier.
Yeah.
For instance, one of the many objects of this game, and any player can choose to play the game however they want to play it. But for the most part, the tagline, "Gotta catch 'em all," stands true for just about anybody playing this. The idea is to go catch all of the Pokemon. Now, one of the things that the game has done is made region-specific Pokemon. For example, there is one called Mr. Mime, which is only available in Europe. There is a character called Taurus, which is only available in North America. So you have the ability to go catch those characters if you're playing in that area. If not, you can hatch them from eggs that you get, which eggs come from Pokestops. They're part of your resources. In order for you to hatch the eggs, you need to walk. Again, this ties back into the name being Go. In order for you to get the incubator to hatch the eggs, you either have to buy them in app purchases, or your character comes with one. But you can only use it's just the one. And while you always have it on you, if it's being occupied, it's not available. This is where in-app purchases come along, because if you've got eggs and you're walking around, you don't want to waste all that time walking around and not hatching eggs. So what do? You spend the money to buy more incubators. And the incubators only you can only use them 3 times compared to the one that you start the game with, which has an infinite use. But as I said, if it's being used, it's being used and you don't have access to it anymore.
Yeah.
Right, so but regardless of how many you have, it's being used, and the more you walk, the further it incubates, right?
The faster it incubates, yes.
Yeah, there's 3 different types of eggs that you can hatch: a 2 kilometer, a 5 kilometer, or a 10 kilometer egg. Each one of them correlates with the commonality of the Pokemon. I'm sure you've seen people bitching about Pokemons like Rattata or Pidgeys. They're incredibly common. And I mean that in the sense of people have hundreds of them because that's how common they are. Whereas if you have a 10-kilometer egg and you hatch that, you have the chance of hatching something that is very rare, including those ones that I mentioned before that are region specific. I have the ability to hatch an egg that holds a Taurus, which is only available in North America. I have no idea if I ever will, because I need to hatch an egg to find out. It's completely random what's in the egg. Until it hatches, nobody knows.
Hmm. So is that how you get a Pikachu?
Pikachus are in 5-kilometer eggs, or they are in the real world. Oh. They are uncommon.
And that's the one thing I guess we should bring up. So the goal of, I guess one of the goals of Pokemon is obviously catching them all. So as you walk around, as you go into areas that you've not been before, or if you, you know, as you travel, you know, throughout the game, if you have it up, you can wild quote unquote Pokemon appear. And that's, and you use your balls to catch them, Pokeballs to catch them. I've, you know, been, like I said, I've been playing the game for a little over 2 days now, give or take. You know, I've been, you know, I haven't really walked yet, but I've been, you know, traveling around with friends, you know, going to the movie. I told you I went to the movies yesterday, you know, and it's just a matter of like going around. Now, as you said, there are common Pokemon. There are Pokemon that are all, you'll always see no matter what. And depending on where you are, sometimes varies the kind of Pokemon you get. To broader sense it, you know, if you know the game a little bit, you know that there are different types: fire, water, poison, earth, you know, and electric, you know. So if you're in areas where certain, like, things like that are, you know, in abundance, for example, most of the time you can find water Pokemon near rivers, lakes, beaches, whatnot. You know, I don't know where exactly you can find fire Pokemon, but that's one of the things that it's meant to do is you're meant to walk around. You're meant to explore. You're meant to get up and move, as it were. You know, the egg hatching is a good way to get people up and moving, because you can only hatch them if you walk the kilometer amount.
Mm-hmm.
Or travel the kilometer amount. You can kind of do it sometimes when you're driving or riding. It just is not, it doesn't always catch you because it is GPS specific. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anything else?
Walking is a big component of this game, because if you do not go outside and walk around, your chances of hatching eggs gets diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Your chances of finding Pokemon in the wild is diminished. And you cannot gain resources, because you need to go find Pokestops in order to gain resources. And really all you do is you walk up to the Pokestop, open it in your game, the app, and
spin it.
Yeah, you spin the image. It's not important, but that's what you do, is you spin the image, and it gives you resources. It gives you new Pokeballs. It gives you potions for your Pokemon when you fight in gyms. It gives you eggs. It gives you these things. Oh, and experience points. So getting out of your home and walking about has benefits. Now, you don't have to leave your home in order to play. You can sit on your couch and play from there if you chose to. There are ways to play. Pokemon spawn in the real world. And for instance, if I open the game right now, there's no Pokemon around me, but they're close. And because the game works on GPS, if the GPS catches my phone just right and I'm on the other side of the apartment, my character may walk a few feet in one direction or the other, and it might spawn a Pokemon, and I can catch that. The other way is to use an item called incense, which is an in-game purchase. It costs money. If I buy one of those and I use it, Pokemon will spawn wherever I'm at. It doesn't matter if I'm walking around or if I'm sitting on the couch.
Hmm.
So there are, it's highly encouraged for players to get up and walk around, but it's not imperative to.
Right. Interesting.
There's a reason why I'm level 5 in Pokemon Go. I am on Team Instinct, so apparently I joined the right team. But I can only do that once I reach level 5.
Yes. So that brings up an interesting point. So you have the teams and then there's the levels. And then, Chester, I sent you an article.
Yes.
About people complaining that the leveling up gets worse, like almost impossible.
Correct. I didn't read the article. I opened it up and I skimmed through it because I knew exactly what it was going to say because even in the beta, we had discussed these things. As a casual player, and by casual, I mean if you're going to dedicate an hour or two a day to play this game, and all I mean by that is on your daily commute, if you're walking or riding a bus or you're carpooling and you're not the driver, and you have the game open and playing, you're going to level fairly quickly. It only takes about 5-ish hours to go from level 0 to about level 10. And that's a casual player that's never played the game before and doesn't know all the tricks and secrets to leveling fast.
Mm-hmm.
Once you hit 10, there is a increased time constraint. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. It takes longer to go from 10 to 15. Those 6 hours that it took you from 0 to 10, going from 10 to 15 will now take probably about 24 hours of play. From 15 to 20, probably about another 24 to 30 hours of play. But once you hit 20, the game slows right down to the point where you're almost crawling with your XP gain. It gets to the point where you really need to start dedicating time in the sense of, I don't mean commuting or anything like that. I mean, you have finished your dinner. You have nothing going on for the rest of the evening. You're going to go out and play Pokemon Go for the next 4 hours. And that's all you're going to do. And that's the only way that you seem to get any movement on your experience and leveling with the game. And because it's such a huge climb.
You're still getting the same amount of experience for each thing you're doing. It's just that each level requires much more experience.
Yeah, very similar to, say, like a D&D or a game you're even playing, World of Warcraft and stuff like that, multiplayer, you know, player online. It's going to take longer to get to that next level. It's the amount of time, ultimately, that you spend in it that's going to affect how far you go and how long you go, you know. You can only do so much. You can only do so much walking. You can only do so much, you know, traveling. You can only do so much, you know, battling Pokemon in gyms and whatnot. You know, it's meant to, for this part of the game, it's meant to get people up and moving. You know, that's sort of, I think, the point of the game overall, is to get people out and interacting with the real world, quote unquote, and it's the motivation to get them going. Now, I do know, and I think they actually mentioned, I think I actually saw it on Facebook, someone in Northern Kentucky has already caught all 150 Pokemon. I don't know how long he's had the game. I don't know how much he's done, but he has done that. So it is possible. It's just going to take the dedication and time to get it done.
Correct.
So, well, that was one of the things when you were saying about that certain Pokemon are regionally specific. I was going to ask about that because I read briefly, like a headline or whatever, that there's a guy that actually already got all 150 or whatever.
151, but yes.
So
because he hatched them from his eggs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the ones that are region specific, because there's region specific for all five or six. I think there's four areas: Asia, yes. North America, UK, and someplace else. I can't remember. Maybe Africa, maybe South America. I can't remember.
Europe, Asia, Europe. North America, and Australia.
Ah, there we go.
Because it's not released in South America yet.
Yeah. So yeah. So it's you know, but you as you we mentioned, you can only get those Pokemon. You can get them in the non-region areas through hatching and whatnot. And
so yes, that particular gentleman who has caught everything available, what he did was he was able to catch the 147 that were available to him, or I'm sorry, 148 that were available to him in the North America. The other three he hatched from eggs. Most likely he made in-app purchases to buy a bunch of incubators and then just continually walked about. While he was out catching his other Pokemon, he was able to hatch eggs and eventually got the other three that are region specific.
There you go. All right.
And so did he catch them all, or was some of them like evolved? So he got some, but then because of all the candy he got.
Oh, well.
He evolved for Pidgeotto to a Pidgeot.
That is one way to catch certain Pokemon is by evolution. When you catch lower ones, you can evolve them into stronger ones. But in the grand scheme of things, whether it's evolved, hatched, or you went out in the wild and found it, you're still going to catch it.
Right.
Hmm. Good to know.
Because as far as I am aware, all of the Pokemon are available in the real environment to be caught, as well as hatching from eggs.
Yeah, because like, I caught the Odo, but I evolved one too, just because I never evolved one.
I just mean in the sense of
much candy to evolve.
Correct. I just mean in the sense of, and this is probably where Gary is going to be lost. One of the Pokemon that is available in the game is called Gyarados, which is basically a Chinese water dragon. And while he is available to be caught in the real world or hatched from an egg, the likelihood of that happening is incredibly low. So in order to ensure that you're able to catch that particular Pokemon, you can go out and you can catch its lower evolved version, which is called a Magikarp, basically a koi fish that's very derpy. The thing with that is you need to catch 100 of them in order to evolve it into something stronger.
Yeah.
And again, this all ties back into getting a person out of their home and walking about. Because you need to find 100 of them in the real world. And that particular Pokemon, as Damon mentioned earlier, it's a water Pokemon. So you walk around areas that are near water features that are typically natural. Rivers, lakes, ponds, that type of thing.
Yeah. All right. So there's that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think that pretty much covers everything. Did you have any other questions, Gary? Gary?
Hmm?
Did you have any other questions?
What? Oh, no.
You suddenly tuned out, it sounds like.
No, I'm being shady. That's fine. No, I think that helps. Hopefully, people understand better. I'm just gonna probably stay out of the whole thing of the game. And like, okay, as long as y'all are having fun. Now, I do have to laugh about one thing, though. I do want to say this. I don't know if anyone's seen it. Supposedly, someone made a Pokemon Go iPhone holder. It's like a sleeve that is meant for iPhones. So when you play the game, it covers up part of the screen, so it provides you with a straight trajectory to, I guess, throw your Pokeballs or whatever. And I showed it to my friend Drew, because he plays it, and he thought it was a silly concept. Like, he thought it was kind of a ridiculous thing. And I was like, okay. Because I'm thinking someone's making money.
Yeah.
There is one aspect of the game that I do want to bring up. And this is the whole reason why I mentioned that you guys should do a show about it. And it comes back to how viral this game has become, in the sense of businesses are picking up on how popular it is, because they see all of these people walking about, in groups of people walking about in parks and, you know, going to their businesses, because they're like, why is this horde of people standing outside my businesses? They don't realize that somebody tagged their business in Ingress as an important place, because sometimes bars and restaurants and shops of interest became portals in Ingress. So that's why people are hanging out at businesses now, because it was directly coming from Ingress, and now it's in Pokemon Go. And I know I made a post about it just the other day, and I tagged two of my friends, Eric Riley from Men of the Den and Corey Reed. Both of those gentlemen are librarians in the DC metro area. And I saw the other day that there was this librarian who understands this Pokemon Go craze. And what she did is she made these pins, and she's calling them badges. And if you are a Pokemon Go player and you go to the library and you are playing the game while you're at the library and you do certain things that are on this list, you can win a badge from this woman. And there were like 10 different badges, and she's, you know, there's different things like show me that you've caught this specific Pokemon in the library and you've walked this amount of distance in the past few days. So this woman is giving them tangible objects in the form of a pin. And to me, I think that's great.
Yeah.
What are the other things? Humane societies encouraging Pokemon Go players to come to the Humane Society to walk their dogs. As you're walking your dogs, you can incubate your eggs. And then the other one is businesses like bars and restaurants. And one of my other friends who owns a pet shop, they are doing things like, if they know that their business is a Pokestop, they will actually encourage players to go there to their establishment. And while they are there, they will give them discounts if they are playing their game while at their establishment. Yeah. So it's become a very worldwide phenomenon, in the sense of how people are interacting in the manner that they're interacting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool.
Always good to have encouragement. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it, I think.
Okay, cool. We got 20 minutes, so let's get through this next part quickly, even though we'd love this part. I like a bear who can squat.
I know that bear. Well, I don't know him. I would love to know him.
I was going to say, really?
Well, yeah. It's Remix Cub.
And,
He's like very handsome.
And yes, flexible. He is. And flexible. Yes.
And who doesn't have that metal sculpture hanging in their home?
I don't.
Me?
I
don't
know. anywho. But he's a very handsome bear. I've always been a fan of his and his partner, Kabuto Cub, or husband, Kabuto Cub. Yeah. Definitely.
Not much to say about this. Just you know, it's great. You kind of get to see everything.
Yeah, you do. Because I'm thinking about how he's in the perfect position to be, you know, like hopping on a pogo. But you
know. Or a hippity hop.
There you go. He's playing leapfrog.
Mm-hmm.
Leapfrog.
Not much to say about this, but yeah, so pop over, take a peek.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it as much as I do.
I did.
Mm-hmm. More speaking to the audience, but yes.
Well, still.
Moving on. Damon?
So, a new harness. This guy has one of those very nice... I forget what specific type of harness they're called, but and he's showing off.
Oh no, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, and you know he's showing off his very beautiful butt and all the rest of his body. Very sexy chocolate bear or cub or just
yeah, I'd say sexy. He's a cub.
Sexy as fuck. Yeah. Nice nipple piercings, nice beard. Good jock, thick thighs, thick butt. Yeah. There you go.
I'm confused.
Why are you confused?
Is he wearing two different jocks?
Let me look at the pictures more. No.
No.
I think sure. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure that's the same jock in each picture.
Because pictures 3 and 4 don't look like 1 and 2.
Well, I think pictures 1 and 2 are much closer up. So you're missing some, the angles are a little odd.
Well, because 3 and 4 show a zipper right on the front, which is what caught my eye.
The first one has a zipper too.
Really?
Okay. It's very faintly see.
You can see it on the second one. Maybe you need to brighten up your screen or something, but it's there.
I'm not really looking at the jock strap, though.
Well, I was drawn to it because I was like, well, this is an interesting choice to attach your harness to your jock strap as opposed to, like, to your pants or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, it's a good harness. I like it.
I'm interested in that particular harness because I just made a comment about wanting to know if suspenders and belts work together or not.
Huh.
And I have a problem wearing suspenders because they fall off of my shoulders. But this particular one, because of the way that it's designed with the suspenders hooking right onto the bulldog harness, I think that might actually work.
That might work for you. That actually would work for you if you're having the, although you don't really get it in, you don't really get the suspension in the back. But that's, you know, true. But you could, I mean, it wouldn't be impossible to add something to it as necessary, you know, like a, probably like a Y strap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, there's attachment points on the back, so.
Yeah. It's not impossible. All right. Gary.
All right. So, for once my Tumblr pick is not pornographic. Well,
are you sure about that?
It's not naked men. But because of today's topic theme, it was the closest thing I could find that matched.
Which oh, my God.
Have you not seen it?
I haven't seen this.
Wow.
So it's called A Little Inappropriate, don't you think? And it's of the game. I believe the player's avatar is in the 3D realm or whatever. And there's a Pokemon. I don't know which one this one is.
Drowsy.
Yeah, it's a big, fat, short, squat, yellow one that is parked right in front of the avatar. It basically looks like that the Pokemon is blowing the avatar. It's so kind of wrong, but funny to me. Of like, wow, is that how you play the game?
Actually, you know, I think this. It looks like a female, so it may be more of.
No, that's a male.
Are you sure? Because that looks
like a female. Certain.
Yeah, the males are. The male and female have very different specific looks. That is the male look in the game.
I understand why you think that, Jeff, because it's a bit androgynous, but that is the male avatar. The hair for the male avatar.
Huh.
Anyway. But yes, it is very, it's a little inappropriate.
Play the game.
No, I don't think this is how you play the game. That's not how you evolve a Pokemon or level them up.
Or in this case, cats.
No, but that is how you can Pokemon goo.
Throwback!
Nice.
Nice.
All right. What do you got? Shutter.
Okay, is it up to me? All right. Yeah. So mine is of a photo set of a very attractive gingery cub. He stated in his posts with this photo set that he used to have a Tumblr account, but eventually he closed it down because of all the body shaming he would get on his Tumblr account.
In a way, we've actually talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
This is very good pick. I will definitely say that. But yeah, Damon, I think, picked this one before too.
Yeah, for my solo duo trio one.
But I picked this. Mostly because I'm scrolling through the photos and I was like, oh, well, this is a handsome guy. And then I read his little blurb about closing his account because of the body shaming. And then he went and had these photos done, which they look professional-ish. You know, it's probably somebody who's an amateur photographer or someone who is professional and whatever. They're well... They're well-executed photos. And after he had them done, he was like, you know what? This is my body, and I'm not ashamed of it. And fuck it. I'm going to reopen a Tumblr account. And this was his photo set that he put up. And, well, I'm glad that he did because,
yeah, you
know, look at him.
Very nice. Yeah.
He's a very sexy guy. I feel really bad that he got, you know, body shamed. But then I'm proud of him that he kind of was able to get past it and show the world and show for himself that he is a very beautiful man. So yeah, all the more to him. And I know he has a new Facebook page out there, or not Facebook, but a Tumblr page out there, but I do not know. I had it and now I can't remember what it is. So yeah.
I would also say that, moving into our next section here, since we're kind of wrapping this up. Any other comments about this before I move on?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So moving on to the links. One thing I probably should have linked to be kind of apropos with this this episode was the video of the police officer that was driving past a group of Pokemon goers, and he was blasting the theme music to Pokemon through his speakers. Which is nice. Really cool, but I decided I didn't feel like going looking for the link to the video. So instead, I'm going to say a TV show which is on MTV, but I'm just running across to on Netflix. And I think it was mentioned on something. It was on Pick on TMS on last Wednesday, I think. It's called The Shannara Chronicles. It's an MTV show. It's not like a most fantastic, it's not like a really great show, but I found it interesting, and the druid Alanon in the show is actually kind of hot, especially considering the first time you see him, he's practically naked, and it's, I don't know, it's pretty cool. This is based off the Terry Brooks Shannara Chronicles novels, and I want to stress to people, this is based on... This is not necessarily the everything that's great about the books and just keep the mind of keeping them separated. I haven't read them, so just hold your horses on it. But I find it was actually pretty cool, the show. I haven't watched the whole thing, but so far I found it really interesting how they use magic. There's John Rhys Davies is in it. I think it's a pretty cool show, so check it out on Netflix. One season. That's my think. Next. Damon?
So I have a YouTube link. It's just a little funny parody thing. It's called Casual Encounters at the RNC. As you know, the Republic National Convention and the Democratic Conventions were these past couple of weeks. One of the things that a lot of people on my Facebook were posting was how at the RNC there was a very large uptake in anonymous or not anonymous, but, you know, gay play, you know, and Rent Boys and all that stuff was going on. So this is sort of a funny take on that. It's just a really funny video. And, you know, they make a lot of jokes about how, you know, a lot of jokes in relation to Republicans. And then the ending is kind of fun. So, yeah, go check it out. I just think it's funny as fuck. Gary?
So mine is not a YouTube pick for once. It's a new album that came out called Case Lang Veers. At least I think it's Veers. It's a sort of anticipated trio album by Nico Case, Katie Lang, and Laura Veers. Nico Case is an avant rock performer, and of course Katie Lang is a legendary musical nomad who's been out for a long time, and then Laura Veers is an indie folk star. They worked on this together, and I have the album. The reason why I picked it is because it's on Amazon Prime streaming, so if you have Amazon Prime, you can listen to it for free. I'm addicted to this album. I love it a lot. So I highly recommend people who are kind of into like folk rockish kind of music to listen to it, because there's a couple of songs on it that I like a lot and are kind of earworms. But they're supposed to be doing a tour with it, so if you're into that kind of stuff, check it out.
So my link is for a Kickstarter campaign called Winston Box, which by the time this airs, the project's already been fully funded, so you can't back it, but you can still get the box. It is for a monthly subscription for clothing for big and tall guys. And I think it's really interesting that somebody has finally decided to do something like this, because lots of guys don't. I think males in general don't understand how fashion works, and bigger guys always have problems finding clothes that work and that are fashionable. So I think this covers them really well. And it's not overly expensive either for the amount of clothes that you get.
And you can still back the project.
Yeah, you can still back it. It just ends tonight.
Oh, okay. No, can no longer back it. Never mind. So we can still back it, but sorry, folks, we're here a week too late.
But it says that it is going forward, so you'll still be able to get to the Kickstarter page and then figure out how to get to their website.
There's a link on the right side lower under the current Back This Project. That has the winstonbox.com. So I'm assuming once the project is funded, you'll be able to do that.
Yeah. So I'm sure most of the listeners out there are bigger boys. And go check this out.
I think it's cute that they say, think of us as the trunk club for men with junk in the trunk.
Ha ha.
Or the 5'4 club for the 5'4 chub. For the bomb fell for the big fella. So they're comparing other existing services that are out there before and that you can sign up for and stuff. Cool, cool, cool. I look forward to hearing more about them in the future.
Yeah. Hey, guess what, folks?
Ba-da-ba-ba.
Play ways to contact us, pop over to our website, comesoutloud.com. Comesoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us sexy voicemail, 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Also Facebook, facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Tumblr, cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus at google.com/plus cubsoutloud. Join us over on the official Bear website, Cubs Out Loud, bearunderground.net. Join the Cubs Out Loud Entourage group there. Say hello. You can find us on iTunes. Rate us there. We appreciate that very much. Leave a review if you want. We'll read it verbatim on the show. You can subscribe to our podcast via Google Play Podcasts and listen to us on Stitcher Radio, where you can give us a thumbs up. Find us, me, anywhere on the internet as Box Step, Box Puppy, Box Cup, Box, something or other.
I am TheaterCub79, our pup_Umbra on Twitter. You can find me pretty much anywhere else under those two names.
Cool. And I can be found as GearBear73 pretty much anywhere on the web.
And you can find me on my Tumblr as The Pop Up There, or on Facebook or Twitter. Yay. Through various people.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one, y'all. Go, Damon, go. Go, Damon, go.
I'm working on it.
What's wrong? What are you doing?
Yeah, Damon, I'm going to stop recording.